Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, hey, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So if you didn't see what popped up over there yesterday, make sure you get over there and check it out, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit the link over the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, well, you know, Dan, before we get into the obligatory baseball comments with the awards coming out, we do have a football game, but I actually wanted to start with some what I thought was kind of funny NFL stuff, and I'm not sure if you saw this. As you know, it was finally made clear that Le'Veon Bell will not be playing for the Steelers this season. So today, or I believe it might have been yesterday, when the team got into the locker room, they took down his nameplate and basically raided anything he had left. It was like a bad Storage Wars auction without the actual auction part. I got kind of a kick out of it. I thought it was pretty humorous. I actually heard one guy say Bell should charge them all with theft because they videotaped it. But as we know, there's a lot of stupid people out there. What did you think?
I'm actually looking it up right now. Did they post the video?
You know, I don't know. I saw it on some of the different sports channels as I was flipping around today. So I don't know if it's a YouTuber thing or, you know, what they ended up doing with it. But let me see if I can. I actually have Bing up as we speak. So let's see if I can figure it out. But yeah, I got kind of a kick out of it.
I mean, he deserves it.
You know, they had the, you know, I don't remember who it was. I think it was a linebacker who just happened to have the same size shoes or same size feet, I should say. And he took. I guess he had a box of unopened brand new Nikes in the locker. So the guy basically just took the box and thanked him for it, you know, on video. So yeah, Bud Dupree was the linebacker who did that. And there are a few, if you Bing it, there are a few videos out there of them doing that. So yeah, it is kind of humorous. But yeah, I, you know, like I said, some people had a big issue with it. I thought it was kind of funny. I mean, obviously he's done with the Steelers and, you know, I'm sure these guys are probably pretty bitter and, you know, this is just kind of their way of maybe blowing off a little of that steam.
Yeah. I mean, I did see the, I saw the guy wearing his shoes. I thought that was pretty funny. He deserves it. I don't have an issue with it. He deserves it. He crapped on his team.
Yeah,
like he's crapping on him. So that's what he did.
Yeah, you know, and I get that. You know, he was trying to make a statement. Okay, you know, I get what he was trying to do, but you know, man, in a team sport, that can be a little difficult to do. And if you want to see the Bud Dupree video, I just put it up on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, so it'll go out on all our Twitter feeds as well. So,
I mean, the only thing I would have did different was take James Conner's stuff and replace it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I didn't have a – like, a lot of guys actually, to be fair, a lot of guys were like us and thought it was kind of funny and, you know, didn't take it too serious. But, you know, there's always that guy, you know, no matter where you go, there's that guy. You know, we've all seen him at parties or, you know, just wherever you go, that guy is there. And, you know, he had to be the guy to, you know, try to be the – well, you know, that's theft, and he should press charges again. Shut up, moron. So, you know, I mean, the guy got the shoes for free. It's not like he paid for those shoes. So,
well, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, he didn't pay for those shoes.
No. Well, you know, the funny thing is, I guess they found a, I don't know if it was I think it might have been a CD. With I think it said Le'Veon's number one. So I want to know if it's him singing, because that I would like to hear. I don't know what Steeler player got that, but you know, if you could get that to Dan, you know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, we would love to hear that here on Sports Time Radio. So, but yeah, I just
apparently.
You know, I kind of a neat way for them to blow off a little steam.
Yeah, and like I said, he deserved what he got. I mean, he crapped on his team, and they're doing it right back to him. So that's what he did.
Yeah, well, you know, now, you know, obviously, you know, you and I aren't all over this situation because, you know, let's face it, you know, even though you drafted him, you were smart enough to take James Conner to back him up. You know, I mean, the to be honest, you know, when these guys do this kind of stuff, I just kind of stop caring about them. What I didn't realize is apparently it's been reported that he didn't bother to contact any of his teammates, you know, in these, what are we, 11 or 12 weeks or whatever. I mean, if you count the preseason, he's been out, you know, what, 15, 16 weeks. So you figure 4 months, he didn't reach out to a teammate, let a teammate know what was going on. So, you know, if they're a little bitter, I can completely understand that. You know, I mean, here's a guy you went to war with, and you're not even good enough to get a you know, a text. So, you know, so yeah, I can understand a little bit of anger there. You know, I mean, I'm sure you would have done the same thing, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, can you imagine in one of our locker rooms what would happen if someone did something like that?
Oh yeah. You know, if anything close to that happened, it would have been much worse. But all right, well, our other football story, Dan. Of course, it's Thursday night, and we got a game that looks like it should be a really good matchup. You know, we have the Green Bay Packers going to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Again, it is only five. Well, it's about 5:40, and I do not have Mr. Fantasy's pick. As you know, Dan, I did not get it last week either, but he did tell me when I saw him earlier in the week that he would have taken Carolina, so it didn't matter. I did not check the El Google Sheeto earlier, so I do not know who you are picking. Would you be kind enough to reveal it for us here and now on where you're going to go tonight?
I've got the winning team.
I know. Which one?
Oh, the Packers.
You know, what was quite humorous is when I actually first wrote down my pick, I wrote down the Rams because for some reason I thought the Rams were playing on the play tonight. So, yeah, as you can tell, this is probably going to go really well for me. But, yeah, I you know, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with the Packers as well, you know, as much as I – want the Seahawks to win, I'm kind of a little worried about it, so I'm gonna go ahead and take Green Bay. But Stu himself liked Seattle, so they do have Schomburg Stu's support, so maybe that will be enough to pull them through tonight and get a home win. I know they do play they do play a little better at home, and it is a tough place to play. So we will see how it goes, but. So far it's two for the Packers, one for the Seahawks, and we'll see if that pick rolls in before kickoff time. But I don't know. I'm kind of getting a feeling that we're not going to get the pick, we're probably not going to get that Thursday night lineup we used to get either. Are you still putting stuff together for Thursday night? I know you said you were doing okay, weren't you?
Yeah, but I guess because he fell off, I kind of fell off with it too.
Oh. Well, to be fair, he hasn't fallen off. He's he's still doing his thing. He's just not sending it to us. We're not regaling in his big time money winnings. So just kind of.
Well, I've been caught up with the football and or the hockey and NBA.
Yeah. So to be fair, I wanna check my email as we're talking here to make sure he didn't email me anything before I say I don't have his pick. But no, I do not have anything as of yet. He definitely has some time to get it to us. But I was kind of he's winning so much money. I was kind of hoping to cash in on some of those lineups because. Like I was talking to you yesterday, for whatever reason, I suck at football. I just can't get it right. So I was kind of hoping to, sponge a little off him and make some money, and we can't get a damn lineup.
Yeah, and, the only thing that bothers me with his lineups is the kickers. They never seem to do anything when I was playing, when I picked his kicker.
So, yeah, I haven't. Well, at least you did profit the one night I think you got in when I couldn't get in. And didn't you pick up like $7 or $8 one night or something like that?
Mm-hmm. And that was my own lineup.
Yeah.
That wasn't even his.
Oh, no. Okay. So, yeah, because I know I picked up $8 earlier in the year thanks to Deshaun Watson one week. But, that wasn't a Thursday. That was a Sunday. So, yeah, I was kind of hoping, and I get it, if he doesn't have time to call us, just, send it to me, you and I, or send it to you, or, hell, even send it to Stu. I'm sure Stu would get it to us. We'll take care of it, for him on air. It's no big deal that, we don't have to go over it player by player like on Sundays, but, just help a brother out, man. I need the cash flow. it's almost Christmas time. I got gifts to buy.
Well, it'd be easier if he didn't have to use a computer and learned how to use the app on his phone. You could literally screenshot it in 2 seconds and send it off.
Well, he has sent me screenshots before. So
yeah,
but
the
I don't
computer
know.
Ones
I don't
always look all draining.
Yeah. So, I can't say anything because you damn well know I don't use the app either. So,
yeah.
But that's more for personal preference, because if I had the app, I would probably be on there all the time and I would spend way too much money. This way, when it's just on the laptop, I have to make the effort to go into the bedroom and sit down. That's a whole different animal there. So I'm just kind of doing that to save myself money. So, I'm not in the poorhouse and living in my car. So, that's just personal preference.
Yeah, game.
But yeah, hopefully it's a good game tonight. I mean, obviously it's, two teams that need a win to stay in playoff contention. I kind of got the feeling that the loser might be out, especially if it's Seattle, because they've already dropped 2 games to the Rams. I know Green Bay still has some interdivisional games. I think they have at least one more game with each team in the division, so they could still make up a little ground. But of course, they don't want a loss here either. So yeah, I think the loser could run into a little bit of trouble. So we'll see how that works out tonight. But you know, like I said, my heart is with the Seahawks, but I just can't buy it. I just got a feeling it's gonna be Green Bay tonight. So.
Yeah, well, hopefully Aaron Rodgers connects with Hundley and Davante Adams for a bunch of points. And then, of course, I need the running back Davis for your guys and Tyler Lockett to get some points so I can win tonight.
So, all right. Well, all right. You know, it's full time, Dan, and you know, we discussed this a little bit yesterday, and we were pretty much right on it. It is Christian Yelich as the National League MVP. He picked up 29 of the possible 30 first place votes. And, Dan, you know, oddly, the other first place vote didn't go to a guy who I really thought was going to get one. And the guy who voted for him definitely should be fired because, again, there's a lot of complete morons out there. Believe it or not, Dan, Jacob DeGrom got the other first-place vote.
Yeah, you know, yesterday I used to follow this writer, Joe Sheehan. And is that who voted for him? I don't know if he has a vote, but...
It was Nick, I'm going to guess this is Picoro from the Arizona Republic. Not only did he have DeGrom first, he had Scherzer third. So obviously this guy stays at home and masturbates about pitching because he definitely has absolutely no idea how to vote for an MVP. So,
yeah, you know, and that was the thing. Sheehan, I think he writes for Baseball America. He put what his picks were, and he put DeGrom as it. And before I even decided to comment, I unfollowed his page and just moved on with it because, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I think I'm going to have to find that LeBron soundbite. How do you define most valuable player? And while DeGrom's numbers were worthy of a Cy Young, I don't know how he is the most valuable player on a team that didn't make the playoffs.
Right. Well, you know, like, my biggest issue when it comes to pitchers is the season is 162 games long. All right. DeGrom was a factor in just 32 of them. So that's 130 games where he has absolutely no impact on what happens on the field. How is that MVP worthy? You know, like, not that he didn't have a great year, and I have no problem. Like I said, I have no problem with winning the Cy Young. I understood why they gave it to him. But when you play in just, like, think about it. If Yelich, Baez, or Arenado, who were the top three nominees that played in just 32 games, they wouldn't be even in contention for this award.
No, and it's only 20% of the game this season.
Right. Oh, you know, but yeah, I'll give you the top three. Javi ended up finishing second. Baez comes home second. He did rack up 19 second-place votes. Arenado, of course, rolled in third. Then it was Freddie Freeman in fourth. DeGrom actually made it to fifth on the ballot. Then it was Goldschmidt, Lorenzo Cain, Trevor Story, Matt Carpenter, Max Scherzer, Anthony Rendon, Ronald Acuna Jr., Aaron Nola, Justin Turner, Max Muncy, Jesus Aguilar, Anthony Rizzo rolling in with a seventh, eighth, and ninth player, eighth, ninth, and tenth place vote. Yeah. Nick Markakis picked up a couple 10th place votes. And Dan, you and I had talked to you about this for I don't know how long during the season. Where was Eugenio Suarez going to finish, Dan? He got two 10th place votes. So, obviously, everything they say is a complete lie because – you know, his, you know, stat line wise, he was very comparable with Mike Trout, who will probably finish second in a few minutes. Get that one, or it might even be up now. It's getting to be that time. But yeah, you know, so it has a lot to do with your name. And I finally realized, Dan, why RBIs don't mean anything anymore. I noticed it today. I hadn't really been paying a lot of attention. RBIs no longer mean anything, Dan, because Trout only had 79 of them, and they can't use it to their benefit. So, because all of a sudden, magically, stolen bases are important again because they started stealing bases.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you can't get
it's kind of like whatever
RBI
story they need to be important at the time, they go with. So, but yeah, I mean, I, you know, with the exception of obviously the stupidity of giving DeGrom a first place vote, and maybe even there were seven guys who had him second on their ballot, you know, with the kind of year the guys around him had, I that probably shouldn't factor in either. I don't have too much of a problem with how this ended, right? I mean, we kind of mentioned yesterday we thought it was going to be Yelich. So no real issues?
No. He deserved it.
No. I want to look, but
Big Jack, would he have received those votes if he were still in Florida?
Who, Yelich? Oh no, definitely not. So, both of the Chicago voters had Baez at number two on the ballot. So, they both went with Yelich, of course, because DeGrom only got one first place vote. So.
This
just kind of baffled me. I just don't, you know, I don't get it. But all right, Dan, the American League came out as well, and I'm a little surprised by this. Mookie wins it in pretty much a landslide. He got 28 of the 30 first place votes. Of course, Mike Trout got one, and J.D. Martinez got the other one. So somebody paying a little bit of attention, realizing that Martinez should have been in the top three. Let me find the moron who voted for Trout as number one here. That would be Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. You win the combined vote with the guy from Arizona as moron of the day here on Sports Time Radio, because obviously you know nothing about baseball and probably shouldn't be covering it. So there you go. At least you were smart enough to put Betts second and didn't drop him down. But Trout number one on your ballot, you're a complete moron and should probably look for a different line of work, because you got no business covering baseball, my friend. So. But all right, well, let me give you the wonderful totals here. Betts did win it. Trout, of course, was number two. That means Jose Ramirez, three. J.D. Martinez was third. Alex Bregman was fourth, Martinez was fourth. Bregman was fifth. They both should have been above Trout. Then it's a little bit of a interesting selection here. We got Francisco Lindor, Matt Chapman, Chris Davis, Blake Snell, Justin Verlander, Mitch Haniger, Aaron Judge, Xander Bogaerts. I like that. I love Xander Bogaerts. I know you do too. Jose Altuve, Blake Tryon, Andrelton Simmons, Whit Merrifield, Edwin Diaz, Giancarlo Stanton, Didi. Didi got a couple votes. Dan,
nice.
Jed Lowry, Trevor Bauer, Aaron Hicks, and Chris Sale. So a wide selection at the bottom of the American League, because you have to vote for 10 guys. So a wide selection there at the bottom. But, yeah, you know, I mean, when you look at it, Dan, I mean, when you start kind of defining MVP, really you could have dropped Trout down to probably eighth behind these guys who actually played for teams that got into the playoffs. You know, and I mean, I still, for the life of me, I don't understand why people didn't realize what Alex Bregman did for that Astro team when everybody and their mother was hurt. You know, Altuve was lame. Correa was on the DL. You know, I mean, they were just
banged up offensively. Brian McCann was gone, you know, with an injury, and Bregman carried him for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and doesn't get in the top three, doesn't get a first-place vote, got one second-place vote. So, you know, I don't know. I guess I just watch a different game, huh? Is that what the problem is? You know, MVP means something else to me than it does to everybody else.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's why it needs to be defined, or some kind of criteria that has to be put forth. You know, the whole voting for your favorite guy, to me, just doesn't really make it as worthy of an award as it should be.
Yeah, I just don't, and there was a question today that came over, I think it was the tweet on Intentional Talk, asking if the Sabermetric guys were going, the Sabermetric voters were going to ruin the MVP voting, and they were close to ruining it with Trout finishing in second. But Betts won. I think he was deserving. But Trout wasn't even the second best player in the league this year. You know, I don't care what you try to tell me about his numbers and all the stats you make up. You know, he doesn't belong there. So, you know, and oddly, Dan, John Paul Morosi, who we see on the MLB Network quite a bit, had him fifth. There were a couple other guys. You know, Dave Campbell had him fifth as well. He was the guy who gave Martinez his first-place vote. I don't think anybody had Trout lower than five, and I believe that's where I had him when you and I were kind of talking about it. I had, you know, Betts, Ramirez, Martinez, and Bregman all ahead of him. So, you know, that's where I would have put him on my ballot. But, all right, well, look at that, Dan. We wrapped up award season. Now what do we move on to? What's next for baseball? When are the GM meetings? When do we start trading guys and signing guys and all this other stuff?
There's been a few. I mean, I've been trying to put stuff together for us, but I can only do it at work.
We need to get that together. I did think, you know, looking at your Google sheet there, I think you might have too many stats for us to plug in. You might want to – we might have to kind of pare it down a little. So – and, you know, I was joking about the Sabermetric stuff, right?
Well, I was asking a serious question, and you sarcastic, so I put it in.
It takes me a while to figure it out, so I have to come back with something smart-ass first. So, you know, it takes me a little bit, but we'll have to get on that.
It's too hard to do it that way, and I've been downloading all the stats off of Baseball Reference. It's just taking a little bit longer than anticipated. But, you know, one of the things I found interesting while doing that was when I'm downloading these stats, because I have to download them into Excel and then transfer them to Google. The thing I found interesting is that when you download all of them, and Baseball Reference is a big, you know, the owners or developers or whatever you want to call it are big proponents of WAR. But when you download the stats, guess what doesn't come with it?
WAR?
Yeah. So I found that very interesting. And, of course, I'm not going to question them because in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't make a difference because it's not recognized by Major League Baseball.
Anybody of any importance? Oh, I mean, sorry.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure some things out, Dan, so we can enter the MLB trade rumors. Free agent concept. So, you
you know, they always do their, you know, their picks and stuff. So we'll have to, you know, get our crap together so we can get an entry in.
Yeah. I mean, apparently as of last week, not a whole lot of action happened. You know, the Rangers picked up Jet Bandy or Bondy, or I don't know how you want to say it. And Detroit has Pete Kozma. Other than that, we haven't seen any action since tonight.
Yeah, well, I know humorously, I know you and I have joked about it before that you can always, you know, if you're a left-handed pitcher, you can always get a job. I saw the Mets signed a guy today, Ryan O'Rourke, who actually hasn't pitched in the majors since 2016, but they're going to give him a look on a minor league deal. So, you know, again, you're a lefty, you know, just keep plugging away and somebody's going to find you. you know, I'm sure he wasn't on anybody's radar for free agent signing. So.
No, it's rough, and there's, as I'm looking at it now, 175 free agents. But the ones
wow.
I want to throw at you, that I'm just wondering if it'll happen. So we've got these guys are. We'll go backwards. We'll go forward. Rajay Davis, AJ Ellis, Jose Bautista, Brandon Phillips, Curtis Granderson, and Nelson Cruz are all making their 38. They're all 38 right now. Matt Holliday's 39. Victor Martinez and Beltre are 40. I mean, we're looking at just under 10 guys. You want to make it an even 10, we'll go with Chris Stewart and Ian Kinsler. Are these guys getting signed? That's, you know, they're at 37.
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of those guys are done. You know, I mean, like, Martinez has already announced his retirement. You know, maybe he didn't, but, you know, he got the farewell in Detroit, and it looks like he's done. I mean, Bautista barely, you know, he bounced around. What was he on, 3 or 4 different teams last year? So
yeah.
I don't see him getting a deal. Somebody's going to sign Nelson Cruz because he can still hit home runs. You know, what did he hit? 30 plus again last year. So, you know, he's going to get a job. You know, I'm sure Granderson gets a job because he was a really good bench addition for the Brewers. Like, I don't think he's a starter anymore. You know, definitely, you know, guys like that can, you know, pitch in, but it's, you know, it's getting harder and harder, and just, you know, Cruz hit 37 last year. So there's a spot for a guy like that on a team. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we're waiting to see, you know, Adrian Beltre really hasn't said if he wants to play another year. So, maybe he gets a look. I don't know where, but maybe he kind of gets that last tour, you know, the farewell tour. But, yeah, other than that, it's tough to see a lot of those guys getting jobs. You know, because I'm trying to think off the top of my head who, you know, if there's a contender out there that needs a power hitter, you know, and I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday with the Astros. You know, imagine plugging Nelson Cruz in as your everyday DH. You know, that could be a, you know, an interesting segue there. You know, if they were to add a hitter like a 1 year deal. Option, you know, and add, you know, 30 plus, maybe even more in that ballpark. So, you know, that could be an interesting bet. Yeah, I don't know where else a lot of guys will fit. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to, you know, going to kind of jump and make that first signing. You know, and you wonder what, you know, what are some of these bad teams going to do? You know, like I heard today that Cincinnati wants to be in on the pitching market.
you know, they feel they need to add at least one starter, maybe two. But, you know, I mean, is a Dallas Keuchel going to sign with Cincinnati?
They still have Bronco on the bus.
I think he might finally be done. you know, like they have some decent looking young pitchers that just haven't came through yet. You know, and if they could add a guy and their guys improve, I mean, they could make a marked improvement. I still don't think they'd be a contender. I still think they're a little away from that. But you know, you just wonder. I mean, you know, Patrick Corbin is, you know, he's going to be the big name out there with Dallas Keuchel. But again, I mean, are these guys going to look to go to a team that was 28 games under 500 last year? So, you know, that's the tough decision. You know, I mean, the same thing here in Chicago. We keep hearing the White Sox have this money and they're going to spend it. You know, do these guys want to play for the White Sox? I mean, I guess if you get a long enough deal, maybe you would be interested. But, you know, a guy's not coming to the White Sox on a 1 or 2 year deal because they're still going to stink. So, you know, yeah, it's a tough. You know, it's difficult to judge the market this way because you're like, oh yeah, you know, these guys can pay this or these guys can pay that. That's great. You know, this guy will just go there or this guy will just go here. You know, I mean, there's a lot of talk about Atlanta wanting to add a Keuchel to the front of their rotation because they, you know, they need that veteran guy. You know, Julio Teheran really hasn't been the veteran stud pitcher where, you know, a guy like Keuchel could manage that role with the young guys and really help them come along. But, you know, they haven't seemed to want to mess with their team chemistry. You know, they've kind of stuck to their plan. And, you know, will they make that change? You know, just for, you know, because obviously, you know, this year was still a surprise. I don't think anybody had them winning. You know, depending on what goes on with Bryce Harper, you know, if he goes back to Washington, nobody may have Atlanta winning the division again next year. So, you know, we'll have to see what moves they make. I mean, you know, Markakis is a free agent. They'll have to decide if they're going to bring him back. They still have a lot of young talent. You know, you wonder if maybe their move might be to try to go get a Corey Kluber if Cleveland is really serious about moving him. You know, obviously it's going to cost them, you know, 3 or 4 of those prospects, but, you know, they have the number one farm system in baseball. You can move those guys if you have to, you know, get what you need. It's just, you know, I mean, the Cubs did it and won a World Series. You know, will the Braves be willing to make that same kind of investment that the Cubs did? And, you know, just and to be fair, the Braves have a better farm system than the Cubs did when they made this move. You know, the Braves are really deep. If, you know, again, if these guys work out, I mean, they're a long way away. You can say the same thing about the White Sox. You know, so that's, you know, that's the key. You know, and those are a lot of keys to the offseason is, do you go get a Dallas Keuchel? Do you go get a Patrick Corbin? Or do you have the farm system to look at a Corey Kluber or a Carlos Carrasco who, you know, are being dangled out there by the Indians?
Yeah, but if
so, yeah, you got to kind of, you know, kind of figure out where, you know, where you fit.
Yeah, but if you spend the money as opposed to trading away your guys, then that might put you in a better position to begin with, especially when it comes to the trade deadline.
So, you started to break up a little there. You didn't come through clear. All I heard was trade.
If they went after Keuchel, they're still in a better position than trading away their guys before they know what's going on with the team.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, they know their system better than you and I know. You know, it just depends on.
My point is, like, why at this point would you start trading away your farm system when you can go after guys that you can sign first, and then you'd be in a better position come trade deadline when you have, you know, people to trade away if he need be.
Well, remember, though, you know, a guy like Kluber still has multiple years on his deal. So, you know, you wouldn't be trading with just one. You know, you get a guy like that for multiple. Like, I could understand that if you were dealing for a guy who was final year of his contract. It's like, well, wouldn't you want more control? Where you know, you'll get that with Kluber. They'll get, you know, you'll get a couple of years. I think it's this year and an option, or maybe it's 2 years and an option. And it, you know, it may even be for less money than what a guy like Keuchel is asking for. I know Kluber's right around $20 million. You got to figure Keuchel's going to get that, or maybe a little more. They're saying right now Corbin's going to be the highest paid free agent pitcher. You know, we'll have to, you know, kind of have to see how that works out. But, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting once we can kind of get the first domino ball. And I'm trying to think. I got to look here to see the actual list. I was trying to remember who else besides Keuchel and Corbin. Do you know any, you know, off the top of your head, who else is a pitching free agent out there that we
I'm looking only at free agent batters. That's my problem.
All right, yeah, I'm pulling up the list here on the lovely MLB trading site. Let me get down to it and see who. I don't remember.
Marco Estrada, Charlie Martin, Jeremy Hellickson.
Yes. Yeah, I'm guessing, and I don't know if you agree with me, is somebody going to way overpay for Nathan Eovaldi because of the playoffs?
Most likely.
So, I know he's only 20. Yeah, you know, but even if you go like 3 years or something, you know, because he's only 29, you know, with his injury history, that could be cool. Your guy Wade Miley could be in the same boat. He was really good down the stretch and in the playoffs. You know, he's 32 and out there on the market. You know, you got to kind of wonder what teams are looking at him. But, yeah, and then, you know, I got a kick. I don't know if you heard this one, Dan, but apparently the Dodgers were interested in signing Craig Kimbrel and teaming him up with Kenley Jansen. Are you buying that?
Why not? Why can't you platoon this closer role?
Right. I mean, is that going to be the new wave of baseball? You're going to worry about starting pitching and build your bullpen so they can cover five innings a game?
Well, having two set closers doesn't necessarily mean you're stockpiling your bullpen to, you know, forget about starting pitching. Don't forget they still have – they re-signed Ryu. They have Kershaw, Walker Blue, Bueller.
Yeah, but now those guys only have to pitch five innings. Oh.
Why? Because you have two closers?
Oh, because you have a monster bullpen, right? Isn't that the thing now? You know, because God forbid a starter goes three times through the order, Dan, what would he do?
No. You're right in that sense because the front office runs that team, not Dave Roberts on the field. So, in that essence, I get what you're saying. But at the same time, the Dodgers didn't re-sign Yu Darvish after his playoff World Series performance. And after Kenley Jansen's, you've got to wonder what their thoughts are now. I mean, you know, how much better is Kimbrel's WAR than Jansen's?
Yes. Well, remember, to be fair, you know, when the season was over, Jansen did go have heart surgery. Not that that's an excuse, but, you know, he did need to go have heart surgery when the season was over. So, you know, I don't want to kill him too badly because he did kind of battle his way through that. So just tell me, Dan, where's my guy Andrew McCutchen going to get a job at? That's all I really need to know. So, oh, see, I asked Dan a question and he hangs up on me. Can you believe that? That's terrible. Just terrible. Now we got to wait for Dan to come back so I can ask him the question again. There we go. Okay, he's coming. He's coming back now. Let's see. What, I asked you a question you didn't like, so you hung up on me?
Exactly. Well, I was still talking, so I was wondering why the hell you weren't responding. Go ahead.
I said, where's my guy Andrew McCutchen going to get a job at?
Oh, the good old Kutch. If Philly doesn't pay Bryce Harper for, you know, the rest of his life, I think Kutch might be a good spot in Philly. Off the top of my head, I don't know why, but that's one of the first ones that just popped up.
Yeah,
Washington.
You know, it's possible. You know, if Harper signs somewhere else, he could be an interesting replacement. You know, to kind of help, you know, fill the loss there. You know, I know that, you know, they've had that Victor Robles in the minors for what seems like forever. I know he's still really young. You know, you've got to think he would have to come up with Soto and, you know, whoever else they would miss in. But, yeah, you know, McCutchen could be a really nice third outfielder there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just, you know, again, it's so early you kind of look. I mean, it's like, well, who's going to be doing what? Or, you know, I mean, obviously the Diamondbacks are going to have to figure out how to replace Pollock if they're not going to bring him back. But I know they don't spend a ton of money, but, you know, he could fill that role.
Yeah, that would be an interesting park for him to play in, though, because I don't think he'd be knocking anything out too much.
Yeah.
Definitely more of a defensive, role in that field. I don't know. It's interesting, you know, with the domes, because when you're there, it just I just didn't have the same feel as you would, say, in the outdoor stadium. You know, the ball definitely flies in the air, but you're like, does it have enough to go out? You know, but I guess, you know, that's why they're professionals. They have to learn to adjust to each different park. And that's why they do batting practice before the game.
So, but yeah, you know, obviously he's the name that pops up that, of course, you know, root for. You know, I've been on the McCutchen bandwagon for a while now, so you know, it'll be interesting. And I mean, he's only 32, so you know, I know like they talk like he's done, but could he be? At that age, I mean, I find it hard to believe he doesn't get a job, right?
I would find it hard to believe if he didn't.
So, you know, just, yeah, I...
It's just, it's one of those, like, this guy goes here and, you know, we've got to wait to see what other openings.
Yeah. You know, that's always the tough part with making, you know, predictions and stuff. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, this guy fits there, this guy fits here, but... Yeah, obviously, I mean, if Harper leaves Washington, they've probably got to make the move to come up with some kind of replacement there. You know, I don't believe that, you know, just bringing Robles up is going to be enough. So they'll have to come up with a move there. And then,
you know, of course, everything is triggered by everything else. I mean, you know, do the White Sox spend a little money? Not that the question would either why, but they could, you know, if they spent a little money, that would bring somebody there we weren't expecting. Or, you know, if the Padres do something, or, you know, again, if the Braves do something. So it's so tough to, you know, especially this early when nothing has come out and you just haven't seen anything.
No, and, you know, and another good landing spot for McCutchen quite possibly could be the Angels. You mentioned the White Sox. And, you know, I mean, he's obviously not going to be looking. I don't know what he's looking for, so I can't say. But I wouldn't think he'd be getting, you know, a huge blockbuster 5 to 7 year, you know, option contract. And the South Side of Chicago might be a good landing spot for him if he, you know, kind of have, especially since what I've read is they're looking to shop Abisail Garcia. And if you bring McCutchen in, you've got a bet. Yeah, right? You know, they move him. You know, McCutchen's not a bad option. He can be kind of a quote-unquote, I don't want to say leader, or just have that veteran presence in the outfield for the White Sox. And, you know, step his game up a little bit and hopefully for the White Sox turn him around for some more prospects by the trade deadline.
Yeah, you know, and obviously he'll, you know, like you said, he's not looking for 5-6 years in a deal. So, you know, that could also work in, you know, well for teams like that. So, but all right, Dan, well, I had kind of talked Dan into doing a new segment for us here since baseball is over and, you know, him and I don't really have anything to watch. So he's just kind of hunting down a sports movie a week, and every Thursday he's going to give you something to check out over the weekend. It doesn't have to be brand new. We're just going with, you know, what Dan finds and what he likes or dislikes. And this week you went with, what did you watch?
Well, for those of you who have Netflix or have someone's password, which was deemed by the U.S. Supreme Court not illegal to do, sharing your password, I went with Ronnie Coleman, The King. You know, I'll be honest, I sat down last Friday. I really didn't really have the intention of looking up or watching a sports-related movie, and not because I didn't want to do it. It was just one of those. It was Friday, and I wasn't really planning on staying up. I don't know. It was. I figured I had the whole week, and it was one of those trending now. And you know, for me, it was one of those. I had to watch. You know, I actually am one of those guys who owns Pumping Iron. Do you remember that? I don't remember exactly what year that was from. But, you know, that's good old Arnold and his bodybuilding movie. But this one was different. It wasn't really a movie per se. It was more of a documentary on Ronnie Coleman's life, you know, his ascent to being the 8-time Mr. Olympia, which, you know, there's Lee Haney was one of them, which he was looking to unseat him. And to be honest, right around that time is when I picked up, you know, the weights and really was into enjoying the sport of bodybuilding. So I kind of witnessed the rise of Jay Cutler, not the quarterback. As to who the hell is Jay Cutler, the quarterback, besides, you know, this one is one of those wonderful stories of, you know, a guy never giving up and fighting as hard as he could to get to the top. And, you know, you've got all these bodybuilders that were coming from the era prior to Coleman talking about how, you know, who's this guy and, you know, he's never going to win. And then he dominates the sport. But I think the hardest part about it, and one of the things that it relates to just anything in life is, you know, Ronnie Coleman gave up his life. Or I don't want to say gave up his life, but put everything that he had into bodybuilding and becoming, you know, this champion, this world-renowned bodybuilder. But it was with such a great cost. You know, he, at the end of his career, was up to like 360 or 390. And I mean, you know, if you would have seen him, he was like an alien. He was so freakishly big. But the cost of it all was, you know, now 10 years later, 12 years later, he's, I think, it is in his early 50s. And the man can't walk. You know, he has a couple of hip replacements. He's had tons of back surgery. And, you know, he can't walk. And it's one of those that just reminds me so much of, and that's what stood out to me, it reminds me so much of the wrestling industry. You know, and just how guys at the top of the world, and you see them, you idolize them, or for any sport for that matter, and then they get into their, you know, I guess it more relates with wrestling because you get guys into their 50s, and maybe more so the NFL too, where, you know, their life is pretty much opiates. Not because they're addicted to them, but because they need them. So it's one of those, I guess you could say, tragic love stories, right?
Yes. So, and just, you know, Pumping Iron was 1957. And there is a Pumping Iron 2 as well.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I left my phone in the car, so I can't. I don't have reception. Hold on. Get.
Oh.
I was wondering what was going on. But, you know, I mean, it was one of those dudes. It wasn't so much a sports movie as much as it was a documentary. And it's definitely something worthwhile to sit down and, you know, pick up. Even if you don't watch it in one sitting, it's only about an hour and a half long. But, you know, don't think of this as a bodybuilding movie because it's not what it is. It's really, you know, it's what we watch every day on reality TV. It's someone's life story. And it's a pretty cool one, especially for guys who, you know, looked up to this guy and were like just amazed by the man of Ronnie Coleman, 8-time Mr. Olympia. So if I get my stuff working, would you check it out?
Yeah, you know, if you know, like I said, I tried to do it earlier and it didn't work for me. But, yeah, it says on IMDb the runtime is just an hour and 33 minutes long, so a little over 90 minutes. It was written and directed by Vlad Udin. So, yeah, and it's it's a recent release, right? Yeah, it's a 2018 release, so it's a very recent release. And when you text me it, my brain went, you said Ronnie Coleman, and I believe there was a running back for the Houston Oilers by that name. So my mind immediately went to that, and I'm like, why are you talking about this, you know, archaic kind of running back here? And then when you told me that, I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so there you go. Dance suggestion for your weekend, Ronnie Coleman, the king. So get out there and check it out on Netflix.
Well, and, you know, one of the coolest things that I left out, I thought was just really cool about him was, you know, in 1998 and 99, he was, I think he won his first two Olympias somewhere in there. And, you know, he still had a full-time job. All these other guys, all they did was bodybuild and do shows. This man was a cop. So if you were into bodybuilding and you got arrested, Ronnie Coleman was one pulling you over. Can you just imagine?
Well, this means that Dan and I are going to take that off. If you don't take off for the Tuesday weekend, I'm going to back on Tuesday morning and the fantasy is coming in. You can do this for that. Follow the way you're going to do it. FullTimeRadio.com. See what's going on over there. Look for that new blog to follow up on Saturday. Follow up on YouTube and Facebook page. If you got a like, please, that would be really nice for you to do. And I'm always going to do it. I'm going to go, what are you doing on Twitter, please? At FullTimeRadio. The video is up there as well if you want to do anything like that. Yet. But as long as you're listening to the don't forget the podcast is available to you to go listen to. And we find you at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.